sing the wondrous story of the Christ who died for me.
Welcome to the audio ministry of Salem Primitive Baptist Church, located in Graysville, Arkansas. I would like to thank you for listening in and hope you are blessed in the Word today. I would also like to invite you to come and worship with us in person. We have worship service every Sunday morning at 10:30 and Bible study every Wednesday night at 6:30. Please like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to us on YouTube for the most current updates. You can find links to these and more information about us on our website. It's www.salempbchurch.com. Thank you again, and may you be blessed in the knowledge of our God and Father. Bible with you this morning, I encourage you to open to the book of Ephesians, chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Would this morning, if the Lord be with us, I'd like to continue our study through this epistle. I've been enjoying it so far, and I pray and trust that you have as well and been learning from it. I would this morning, if the Lord be with us, would like to continue beginning in the 9th verse of Ephesians chapter 1. It says, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. And on a pause there, just to lay some groundwork this morning. So far in this amazing epistle, we have covered a lot of things. Some amazing biblical truth that the Lord has been willing to share with us through the Apostle Paul as he writes to the church at Ephesus. I remind you again of the context of this, where Paul is writing indeed to a church. So it is applicable to us. He is not writing to those that are not part of the church. He's not writing to those that don't know. He's not writing to those that aren't born again. That's not to say that this isn't intended for those outside the church. But this is written to a church, to a congregation of believers, a congregation of those that are already born again, they're already following, they're already trying at least to understand these truths. And he wants to teach them better. That's his goal. That's what the Lord has placed these things on his mind for. We have covered the awesome biblical truth of our salvation and the God that we worship. Our eternal salvation that we have been looking at over and over again, I'll remind you of this as often as I possibly can. I want us to know these things. The Apostle Peter tells us to remind you of these things and to be mindful of them and to remember them over and over. The Apostle Paul tells us multiple times about these things. It's very important for us to know about our eternal salvation and that it is of God and it is of God alone. It is not God plus anything. It is all of God. It is all of grace. He chose us before the foundation of the world. And He predestinated us unto the adoption of children. It's just that simple. Why are we the children of God? Because God wanted us to be. Why do we remain the children of God? Because God wants us to be the children of God. And He says, I will work, and who will let it? I do not believe in the God of heaven that is sitting. I don't believe in the old man sitting on a throne, wringing his hands and worrying and wondering if any of his children are going to make it home. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in a God that has chose people, knows, and let's just remove the choosing for a second. Y'all get this foundation. I don't believe in a God that loves humanity as a whole and wants them all to be His and just wishes and yearns and hopes that the preacher preaches and hopes that he preaches well enough that somebody hears and hopes that they hear well enough that they're willing to respond and hope that they respond well enough that they'll persevere so maybe He can get someone home to heaven. I don't believe in that God. I believe in a God that's finished that work. I believe in a God that wants His people and will have His people, and no one, not hell, not death, not Satan, not us, not life, nor death, nor any other creature is going to stay His hand when it comes to what God wants, He gets. Amen? I'm glad we know that. I mean, beyond glad that we know that. That I didn't get bewildered looks. That I didn't get, what's he talking about up there? Not on that anyway. I'm glad. I don't believe in a God that just wants and yearns for a people. However, if we preach that to the point that we forget that God has a desire and a want, then I preach a lopsided God, just the same. God still wants. God still desires. And Paul tells us about these things in this scripture. I've been telling you all of these awesome things that God has finished, all the while reminding you that we're not excluded from purpose, we're not excluded from calling, we're not excluded from need. I've told y'all that over and over again, and we're going to begin looking at some of that this morning. God desires. Y'all know that? He wants. He yearns. He looks for. We've covered some of those things already that He wants. God wants His people to know these things. He told us that. That it was according, in verse 9 it says, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, because He wanted us to know the mystery of His will. He didn't want His will hidden from His people. He didn't want these things hidden away so that we couldn't know and that we couldn't understand. God desires for His people to know that He is God and what He has done. And you know what our job is? To tell people who God is and what He has done for them. God desires for His people to know these things. God desires to know, God desires for us to know that He chose us. God desires and wants, and it's according to His good pleasure that people find out that they were chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. It makes Him happy for people to know that they were predestinated unto the adoption of children. It makes Him happy for us to know that He is God and there is none other. It makes Him happy for us to know what He has done, why He has done, what is coming for us, that heaven is our home. And the richest of that, God desires for us to know these things. Did y'all know that? That those people out in the world that don't know it, you know what God wants them to know? That. He desires for them to know it. And He's put on us the job and the chore and the duty to be sharing those things. When people know and understand and are told, they may not understand, But at least when people are told what we believe, it's often asked, why do you preach? It's often asked, well, if our salvation is the primary focus of Christianity, is that the truth? Absolutely. If our salvation eternally is the primary focus of Christianity, it's the primary focus of God, and it's the main thing He's looking for, and He's taken care of it, He's done the work, it doesn't require Christ plus the church, it doesn't require Christ plus the Scripture, Christ plus mom and dad, Christ plus acceptance, Christ plus belief, it's not Christ plus any of these things. What is the purpose of preaching? What is the purpose of teaching? What is the purpose of the Scripture? Why? Why would we have that? What's the need of it? And y'all pray for me. This is weighing heavy on me this morning. And getting across how important this is needful. Because we as a people, as a church, as a faith, have neglected this teaching. We've wanted so badly for people to know the first part of this chapter. I mean, let's be honest. How often have you heard Ephesians chapter 1, verses 4 through 8? From the pulpit of an old Baptist preacher. Y'all think about it. How often? It's like the preamble of the old Baptist. We know it well. I remember when I first started preaching, or trying to preach anyway. Brother Harold always told me that if you don't know what to preach on, just preach on grace. At least you'll get a few amens. And it's true. We have focused on Ephesians 1, 4 through 8, and Romans 8, 28 through 30, and those sections of Scripture so well that I hope that all of you just about have them memorized. But in an effort to not sound like others, how often have you heard Ephesians 1 and 13 preached on? In whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Now the book of Ephesians tells us plainly that we're chosen in Him before the foundation of the world. We are predestinated unto the adoption of children. That we have been made accepted unto through the Beloved. That we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. That we have even the forgiveness of sins by the things that He has done. And it is none other. And then we fast forward over to Ephesians 2. That you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sins. And by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of you, lest any man should boast. That's usually how you think Ephesians reads, right? The gospel is included in the book of Ephesians, and our necessity to preach the gospel and our necessity to believe the gospel is preached and is taught in the book of Ephesians. Now wait a minute, brother. I thought you said it was Christ plus nothing. It is. Eternally speaking, it is. But in this world, in this life, we need to believe. See, we're given this awesome description of God that's probably one that you've not heard as often. We all know some of the descriptions of God. He is the Almighty. The beginning and the end of our faith. The Alpha, the Omega. He that was, that is, and that is to come. The great I Am. Jehovah. Y'all all know these names and descriptions of God, right? Love them. How about the one who first trusted in Christ? You ever considered that? Ephesians 1 and 11 tells us that. Verse 12. God desires for us to know all these things, according to verse 12, that we should be to the praise of His glory. Whose glory? The one who first trusted in Christ. God. God desires for us to know these things. God is sitting in heaven, not wringing His hands and worrying that people are going to hear the gospel so they can come home to Him. But He is sitting in heaven desiring that His people would hear the gospel and believe the gospel so that we should be to the praise and the glory of His name, because He is the one who first trusted in God, or in Christ. He is the one who first trusted in Christ. Well, I believe in Christ and I trust Him. God beat you to it. He's the first in all things. Ain't that amazing? He's the beginner of all things. God was the first one to believe in Christ. You want to be like God? You know what you need to do? You need to trust in Christ. See, we're told in Isaiah 42 and verse 1 that God calls Christ His elect, mine elect, my chosen servant. God wanted something done. God had a will. He had a desire. And that was to have His people with Him. Who could He trust for that? Could He trust man to get it done? According to most of Christianity, that's how it gets done. Can He trust in man to get it done? Could He trust in an angel to get it done? They fail too. They're more powerful than we are, but even angels can fall. He could, and He did, trust in Christ to get the job done. In eternity past, when He desired to have this people that we're looking at in Ephesians 1 and 4, that He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, He desired to have us. He knew something was going to have to be done. He knew how bad Adam was going to mess it up, and He knew how much we were going to follow Him. We were all going to be just like Him. He knew something was going to have to be done about it. And He chose the one that He could trust. He had full confidence in Christ to get this done. Christ stood as a lamb slain from the foundation of the world. How is it that Adam got home to heaven? Christ hadn't died yet. You want to see how much God trusted in Christ? How is it that Adam went home to heaven? How is it that the first one murdered on this earth, Abel, went home to heaven? How was it that Abraham went home to heaven? How was it that Moses and Noah and all these people, prior to Christ dying for our sins and paying the price of our sins, the price had not been paid yet, the blood had not been slain and laid out and poured out upon His people yet, this work had not been finished, Christ had not hung on the cross and said, it is finished yet. How is it that all these others got to go home to heaven? Well, it's because, you know, they had the lambs and the bullocks and the rams and the turtle doves, and Noah built the ark and he followed. And Abraham was willing to leave Ur of the Chaldees, and he was willing to believe, and God counted unto him for righteousness. No, brothers and sisters, that's not how they got home to heaven. Jesus told us plainly in John chapter 3 that everyone is born again the exact same way. So the way that you were born again is the same way that Adam, Abel, Noah, Moses, Abraham, and all of them were born again. And they got to go home the moment that Abel had the rock bashed over his head. And the first man fell dead on this earth. That moment, the first one of us was home. And you want to know why? Because God trusted Christ to get the job done. That's faith. Now, there's been great debates over whether or not God has faith. And you can debate that if you want. I tell you, He has faith. A fruit of the Spirit is faith. And you can't produce something you do not have. So therefore, I believe God has faith. He had faith in His Son to get the work done. That's why He sent Him. He trusted in Him that much. Now this is important for what I got on my mind, and y'all be praying because we're nearly 30 minutes in and I'm barely even getting started, so y'all be praying. He had faith in Christ to get the work done. I want y'all to see this faith. I want y'all to see this confidence that He trusted in His Son. God trusted in Christ to get the job done, so much so that when Adam fell and original sin took place and everyone in humanity was cast into sin and death, did He go, "Oh, boy, I really hope you can get this done. Maybe I misunderstood. Maybe I..." Did He waver? Yeah, I'm being silly, and I know that, but I want you to think. Did He wring His hands and worry every time somebody messed up? David was supposed to be the King of Kings. I mean, he was supposed to be it and the example for every king to look unto. And he messed up and had a child out of wedlock and murdered somebody to cover it up. Did He go, "Oh boy, Jesus, I really hope you can actually accomplish this"? No. Steadfast, unmovable. That baby that died, that was born out of wedlock, and murder took place to cover it up, went home right then, because God trusted in Christ. That's faith. That's what God had in Christ. In whom, verse 13, ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. In whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. What is the gospel for if it doesn't get us home to heaven? When my ordination, Brother Gary did the questions at my ordination. He let me know what some of them would be. Not all, but some of them. Just to kind of, because it's a very nerve-wracking thing to be asked questions. It is. And he told me he was going to ask me if I felt like the gospel had anything to do with our salvation. And I told them if he asked me that question, I would say yes. He didn't believe me. So the day of my ordination, he stood up there and asked in front of these 19 brethren that came to lay hands on me if I believed the gospel had anything to do with our salvation. And I said, yes. And you could have heard a pin drop. Or maybe you couldn't over all the... and the look on his face, I'll never forget. Sweat popping out. You see how much we as a people have gotten away from the truth of the gospel? And I'm not being mean, and I'm not saying I'm some big high and mighty because I did this. Y'all please understand. But I want you to see how far removed we as a people have gotten from the power of the gospel that everyone gasped and was worried because they didn't think I understood what I was saying when I said, yes, it has everything to do with our salvation. Without the gospel, would you know that God chose you before the foundation of the world? Without the gospel, would you know that you've been predestinated? Would you know why it is that a perfect man had to hang on the cross and die for sins that he didn't commit? How do you know about those things? It's by the gospel that we know that we're saved. We're told that plainly in Scripture, that He brought life and immortality to light. By the gospel, He has given us this that is so important to our lives, and it is so important to Christianity, and it is so important to the church, that it is the thing that we are supposed to stand for. That there is only one gospel. There is no other. There is no multiple choice. Paul says, if any man comes to you, even if an angel shows up on your doorstep and you know they're an angel and they preach unto you some other gospel, it's not a gospel, and you kick them out of your house. Well, where does it say to be that harsh? Galatians chapter 1. If any man, even an angel, comes to you and preaches another gospel, it is not a gospel, you kick them out, you walk away. The gospel is that important. It is that which tells us. It has nothing to do with us getting home to heaven. It has everything to do with us putting our trust in Jesus Christ. It has everything to do with our salvation today. It has everything to do with our confidence as we go through this messed up world where everybody seems to lose their mind. The gospel has everything to do with it. It tells us that we are supposed to trust in Christ after we hear. How can they hear unless there be a preacher? Scripture tells us that. The gospel is that important. He says that you believed and you trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. And something happened after you heard this. After you heard the gospel and you trusted, something happens. Oh, well, now the gospel doesn't do any of that. Going to have to argue with Scripture. After you heard, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Does that mean that after you heard the gospel, that's when the Holy Spirit comes in and dwells in you and you were born again and that's when He takes up His abode in you? No. That's not what that means. But after you believed that gospel, you were sealed. You want to know why? You know what that seal is? It's faith. You learned that just as much as God could trust in Christ to get the job done, you figured out. You finally figured out. You finally got it through that thick mortal skull of yours that you can trust that Christ has gotten it done. And you are sealed by that. You no longer worry about, I'm not good enough. You no longer worry about what I've done. You're not worrying about that anymore. Because you know Christ has got it done. And what an amazing blessing it is to know that. The gospel is very important. If you look in Romans chapter 1, I want to look at these things. I want us to see these things and understand them. The importance of the gospel. It is not some little thing that we need to, well, we talk about it. No, it is a thing given to the church. A tangible thing that we are supposed to promote, and it is very important. Romans chapter 1, starting in verse 15, this is again Paul writing to the church at Rome. He says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It says, I'm not ashamed of it. I'm not bashful to share it with you. I'm not confused by it. Ashamed can also mean confused. I'm not confused by it. I'm not confused about its purpose. You think Paul was confused about the purpose of the gospel? You think Paul wasted time explaining the purpose of the gospel? I don't think he did. We do because we have neglected it so far that I have to explain to you that if I'm talking about the gospel, I'm not talking about your eternal salvation. How sad is it that I have to put that out there? I shouldn't have to. We should know. Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Well, you know, brother, that people look at you funny when you talk to them about God. Are you ashamed of that? Well, people misunderstand and they think that I'm being hateful and being a bigot against them if I share the gospel. Are you ashamed of that? Shouldn't be. You think Paul was popular for sharing the gospel? Go back and read the book of Acts. The man was kicked out of town. He had to be lowered out of a window multiple times to be hidden from the people. Paul was not popular because he preached the gospel. The gospel has not ever been a popularity contest that everybody's going to receive you well. But still, Paul says, I'm not ashamed to stand up before you and tell you the truth that God has loved you from the foundation of the world and He was willing to send His Son to die for you. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm ready to preach it to anybody that'll stand still long enough to listen to it. I'm ready to preach the gospel. That's what he's saying. That's not a prideful thing, an arrogant thing. It's something that he's got confidence in Christ and he knew how he got that confidence in Christ. And it's by the gospel. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. And you cannot believe the grammatical somersaults I have heard attempted to try to teach away what that says. Is it the power unto salvation or is it power unto the saved? It says it's the power unto salvation. The gospel of Christ is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Well, the gospel's never done anything for me. Do you believe it? Well, yeah. I believe it. I understand it. I didn't ask, do you know it? I asked, do you believe it? God believed it so much so, again, that the very man that cast every one of us into sin and death walked into heaven free of charge the moment Adam's eyes closed. He walked home into heaven because God believed the gospel that much. He believed in Christ that much that Adam walked into heaven free of charge. Do you believe the gospel? There's a big difference. God lived his life according to the fact that Christ would die for Adam's sin. And he lived his life according to it. He didn't have to stand outside the gate. There's not some holding pen. Y'all have heard that. There's not some holding pen that everybody in the Old Testament hung out in until Christ died. And then it talks about Christ going into the lower parts of the earth to get them out of there. That's not what that's talking about. You want to know what that means, that he went into the lower parts of the earth? He was willing to even die to get us home. And he now holds the keys to hell and death because he was willing to die. And he overcome death, hell, and the grave. And he has the keys. It's not because he went to hell to drag people out of there. It's because he died. It's that simple. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Everyone that is willing to truly believe the gospel, truly believe that that man hung on the cross and died for my sins, so my sins do not hold me back from God anymore. My sins have been paid for. My sins have been washed by the blood of Christ. I am white as snow. I am as pure as day. I am as pure as I will ever be. Through the blood of Christ, I am pure and able to go home to God. The moment you believe that, you'll start living according to it. Does that mean you're going to be sinless? No. But it means your sin will no longer hold you back from God. Well, I messed up today. God won't love me anymore. So false. I've messed my life up too bad. Can't nobody do anything. Nobody on this earth can do with it. But I can tell you one who can. And you can't mess it up. I will in no wise cast them out. That's the gospel. To those that believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein, in the gospel, is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God, the truths of God, this book becomes more than just a book through the preaching of the gospel. This book becomes more than just head knowledge through the preaching and the understanding, the acceptance, and the believing of the gospel. From faith to faith. What does that mean? From faith to faith. Yes, everyone, in order to believe the gospel, you must first be born again. Only a born-again child of God is going to be able to hear and believe the gospel. There is a faith that comes in regeneration. When you are born again, when God looks down on you and calls you by name and borns you again in Him, there is a faith that is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. It is the only way that we can believe in God. It is the only way that we can believe in Christ. Without that, you could not do it. That's faith. That's that comes in regeneration. The goal of the gospel is to come from that faith into the faith of confidence in Him, to trusting in that faith. Does a baby need to understand gravity to fall? Does he need to understand gravity to fall over? It's a truth. But the older you are, the more you understand gravity, the more careful you are as you move around, right? Because you have faith in the fact that if you trip over something, there's only one way you're going to go. And it begins to hurt the more you... Right? The truth of gravity has effect on that child's life long before they ever believe it or understand it. But you begin to live your life according to it as you understand by experience, by teaching, and by all these things. You begin to trust in the fact that if I trip, there's only one way I'm going to go. Consider math. Does the fact that a child does not understand 2 plus 2 equals 4 when they're born make it any less true? But the more you understand, the more of it you can do, right? When that baby was born, all you mamas and daddies out there, y'all can relate to this. When that child was born and they placed it in your arms, did that baby need to know that it was yours for it to be yours? was there not a part of that child that immediately clung to you and they knew who you were over anybody else around them? You could tell it. That baby doesn't know your name as Mama. That baby doesn't know your name as Daddy. Doesn't know anything about you, but there is a connection there that is absolutely irreplaceable and they can't even understand it yet. Y'all experience that? You know what that is? That would be the faith that comes in regeneration. That connection with God that you don't know, you don't understand. But then you begin to teach that child who you are. And they see it through your actions, and they see it through your words, and they grow even closer to you. Have you experienced that? From faith to faith. Does that make sense now? The gospel is that which tells you God is your Father. The gospel is that which tells you that He'll love you, He loves you, that He will never forsake you, that He will never turn His back on you, that you can safely trust in Him, you can safely follow Him. It is the gospel that carries you from that regeneration faith, that there is that that's inside every child of God that yearns for God and looks for God, though they've not ever heard of Him. They don't know who it is. They don't understand fully what that yearning is. But I can tell you, every child of God, whether they've ever been in a church, read the Bible, or heard God's name, they're a child of God, and they've got that hole inside them that they're looking for and they're wanting to feel. It is the gospel that explains that hole to them. It is the gospel that explains that and teaches it. And what a salvation there is in knowing that. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes. Because the just shall live by faith. And you can see that the church at Ephesus is doing that. And they're doing so well. It says, in whom ye have also trusted, back in Ephesians 1 and 13, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, unto the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. The faith that the church at Ephesus had was an evidence of them being born again. It was not that got them born again. It was an evidence of them being born again. A child of God trusting in God is not that which gets them born again. It's that which shows forth to you and to everyone around you that you are a child of God. Paul saw the faith of the church at Ephesus and he was thankful for it. And he prayed for them. And you can read the remaining of this chapter, and it is his prayer for the church at Ephesus. And I'm still debating on whether I'm going to come back to some of that or not, but for the saving of time today, I'm not going to read all of it to you. But his prayer for the church at Ephesus was that their knowledge might grow, that their faith may abound, that they might, through the revelation of Jesus Christ, grow even closer to Him. He desired very much for them to find this faith. But I do want to read one verse of it to you. Verse 19. And what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power? Brothers and sisters, there is a special blessing that comes to those that believe in God. There is a special blessing that comes to the child of God that knows they're a child of God. There is a special blessing that comes to those that hear the gospel. It's why Paul said that my earnest desire and expectation for Israel is that they might be saved. He's not talking about their eternal salvation. He is talking about this salvation, that they can know God and that they can understand Him and they can begin to trust in Him. That we would share the gospel with them so that they might come to know God. Are you going to put one foot in heaven? No. But you just might help somebody here on this earth to experience this awesome, awesome power. I want to give you just one blessing. I had a couple, but again, for the saving of time, I'll stick with just one for today, because I think it's the biggest one. Probably one of the greatest blessings that comes from knowing God and knowing the gospel and knowing our salvation is also one of the most neglected, because it's the hardest one for us to do. It's that understanding that you can trust Him. It's that understanding that you can let God control you. That you don't have to be in control. That you can, and old Baptists don't like this terminology, you can make Him the Lord of your life. That you can give over control to Him. Read with me in 1 John chapter 5. See some more of this amazing purpose of the gospel. 1 John chapter 5, starting in verse 13. Says, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, that He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him." John's saying that you can know that you're a child of God. You don't have to wonder and worry about that. You want to know one even further than that? I said I was going to give you just one. Here I am chasing another, but that's all right. Did you know you can know others are children of God? And you can have the same confidence in God for them as you do for yourself? Well, God, I know you got me, but I just see them going through all of this and I just don't know anymore. Ever felt that way? I've told y'all about my little brother. I know good chances he ain't watching, so I can talk about him. I've watched him. I saw him grow up. I saw him in the church. I saw him do things. I have seen God moving him, and I have seen His Spirit move because of him. Today he is an agnostic, would rather fight with God than he would believe in Him. And today's world would tell me that I need to do nothing but doubt and worry and fear that my little brother's going to burn in hell. I don't. Because I know that if you're a child of God, you will always be a child of God. He says, I write these things unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God. Do you believe in the name of the Son of God?
Amen.
Do you believe in the name of Jesus Christ? Do you know the work that He accomplished? He actually saved us from our sins. He actually died for our sins. The death that was experienced on the cross was not from blood loss. It was not from suffocation. It was not from infection. It was not from a spear in the side. It was not any of those things that killed Him. It was actually the death for our sins. It was actually a successful Savior hanging on a cross, dying for the sins of His people, and every one of the sins that He died for were paid for in full. Do you believe in the name of the Son of God?
Amen.
Then you can know that you have eternal life. It just astounds me, the people that do not believe in eternal security. Once saved, always saved. Yes, I believe in that. And yes, Scripture teaches that. I argued with one man online for a good 30, 45 minutes, and my wife was saying, just get off there. He's not going to listen. This was years ago. It was on a KJV only website. I said, okay, KJV only. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Does Scripture say that if you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you have eternal life? Yep. Well, which one of those two words do you believe to be a lie? Which one of those two words do you believe was translated incorrectly? First one says you have it. Brothers and sisters, if you believe in God, there is something that you possess right now. It's not something you need to ask for. It's not something you need to seek for. It's not something you're waiting to get. If you believe in the name of the Son of God, you have something. And it says plainly that that which you have is eternal life. You want to know something funny about eternity? It means it doesn't end. You can't have eternity today and it have an end. If that's the case, you never had eternity. You had a times piece. You had a little space. You might have a dispensation of life, but you don't have eternal life. Which one of those words is inaccurate? You want to know who got off the argument? It was him, not me. He never responded. If you're a child of God, you are a child of God. You have eternal life. That life is unending. And you can have confidence in that unending life for yourself and everyone else you see bring forth the fruit of the Spirit. Anyone you see have faith in God, guess what they are? They're a child of God. If you see them have a true love of God, a true love for His people. Well, He's just a really good brother. He's done so much for the church, and He's done all of this. And I mean, he works, and I've seen Him love, but I've just never heard Him accept. I've never seen Him in church, and I'm just so worried that it's not going to happen for Him. You're seeing fruit. Guess what He has? He has eternal life. If you believe in the name of the Son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that's not a question, that ye may believe. If you believe in the name of the Son of God, you have eternal life, and you have the ability to believe in the name of the Son of God. This is the confidence that we can have in Him. What confidence can we have in Him? We can trust Him. That if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us. Well, brother, I've been praying, I've been asking, but it just seems like my prayers aren't getting any higher than my forehead. You know, I have times that I feel that way too. Do you want to know the truth? God hears every one of them. We can have a confidence that God hears our prayer. If we ask anything according to His will, I'm really quickly, what does that mean? Does that mean that we just need to put "Thy will be done" on the end of every prayer and that's going to fit the bill? It's not what that means. If you ask anything according to His will, that doesn't mean that, "Lord, I want to win the lottery tomorrow and let Your will be done." No. You know what it's going to take for you to ask things according to His will? You're going to have to know Him a little bit. If you're asking things seeking to further Him and seeking to further your life with Him, to further your knowledge for Him, to further your efforts in serving Him, He will hear you. If you are praying selfishly and you are praying for something foolishly that is all about you and nothing else, those are the ones that might not go above your forehead. But if you're asking things according to His will, "Lord, I know that in Your Word it tells us that You want us to serve You. I know that in Your Word it tells us You want us to understand You better. I know, Lord, that in Your Word it tells us that You want this for our lives. And Lord, that's what I'm looking for. And I want to be able to do this. I want to serve these people. And if You'll just show me how to do it according to Your will, Lord, I will do it." That's a prayer that He'll listen to. And we can trust in Him. And we can have full confidence that if He hears us, then we have the petition. You know what that means? God's not going to forget us. "Well, I prayed, but God's not answered yet. Maybe He wasn't listening. Maybe you haven't waited long enough yet." How long did God wait for Adam's sins to be paid for? We talk about how long Abraham waited for that child of promise to be born. And he waited a long time. How long did God wait for Adam's sins to be paid for, staring at the man living at home with him? How long did he wait? Thousands of years he waited. Because he had confidence that it would be paid for. If we ask the Lord, He hears us. And if He hears us, He's not going to forget us. And He's going to take care of us. There might be some pauses, but He's going to take care of us. You'll know where you learned that? From Scripture. Why do we preach? Because we need to. Why is it important? Because we wouldn't know Him otherwise. I thank you, and God bless.
I will sing the wondrous story of the Christ.
Thank you again for joining us at Salem Primitive Baptist Church. I pray that the Word of God may brightly shine in your lives. If you would like to contact us or would like to download a copy of today's message, please go to www.salempbchurch.com. God bless you all.
Who died for me? Sing His praise.